now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002. CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
Come along, children. Now we're going to have a little music, like old times. Look, now I'll start the melody on the organ.
It's Feather Rock with Bill and Ella. It's Feather Rock and sometimes Liam. It's Feather Rock time. It's time for Feather Rock.
It's Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, Indie Music for Indie Kids. Bill Childs with you as I am every week. Coming up here in just a minute, Laurie Berkner is going to call in and chat with us about 25th anniversary of her album Victor Vito, among other things. But right here, it's a new live version of Dr. Worm from They Might Be Giants from a forthcoming all featuring the brass section, the horn section, album called Beast of Horns. It's Dr. Worm, new music on Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child.
Here we go. This song is called Dr. Worm.
It is Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, and we are joined via Zoom by Laurie Berkner. How are you today, Laurie?
Good. I'm glad I'm here.
It's great to have you here. We were talking before we came on the air about the fact that your song, Victor Vito, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, was the very first song we ever played on the show almost 19 years ago. Madness.
I have to say that actually almost made me tear up.
That's lovely. And you're releasing the album. It's the whole album, the 25th anniversary this year, right?
Yeah. We remastered it, and I didn't actually have Pro Tools files of it because I made it that long ago.
Wow.
So we remastered it, and we put it out on vinyl. We're putting it out on vinyl and CD, and of course that version will be available streaming on all the platforms.
That's so cool. Well, I want to hear about sort of what the origin story is, how you started doing family music, and sort of how, you know, I'm sure when you're going back through this 25th anniversary, you're thinking about what it's like to do that, how maybe it's different now than it was when you were doing it 25 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I started because I got a job about a year out of college as a music teacher for preschoolers. Mm-hmm. With no experience, except I think I had been babysitting, and I had also been a music counselor at a camp for 8 to 15 year olds. I worked at a daycare. Yeah. But anyway, there wasn't a whole lot of experience. So I had a lot to learn, and the kids taught me tons. And basically I spent the first year not knowing what I was doing and being pretty bad at my job until I really started listening to them and like thinking about what it would be like to be them. I mean, I just had no memory of that, I felt like, in my 20s. And it took a while for me to kind of reclaim the inner four-year-old that I feel very connected to now. And I also spent some time observing my predecessor and asking her, like, how do you get any of these kids to pay any attention to you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So she basically said, stop talking, put it all in the music, which, as I always say, sing it, don't say it. And I started, like, asking the kids what they wanted to sing about when they would complain that they hated Old MacDonald and stuff that I was singing for them. And I started like making up songs with them in the room, and that also gave them basically directions of like when I needed them to stop getting excited. So like We Are the Dinosaurs is the example that I think is probably the best, which was also one of the earliest ones. I said, what do you guys want to sing about if you don't like, you know, Old MacDonald or whatever we were singing? Dinosaurs. Okay, great. Get up. Let's be dinosaurs. I started playing minor key, marching around. They got crazy. And I said, stop and eat some food on the ground so that they wouldn't like hurt each other. eventually I started recording the songs I was writing, and not just parents were buying them, but then I would do birthday parties and they'd say, bring a few of those tapes. I'm going to put them in the goodie bags. And then parents I didn't know were calling me to like, my kid really loves your cassette tape. Will you come and do a party for me? And over the years, yeah, many things happened to kind of get me to where I am.
But so when you're writing, so you've got this new song, Let's Make a Shape, you're thinking about that.
Yeah.
Is it still the same thing where you're connecting to that inner four-year-old? How is it different for you now?
Mm. The thing that has changed for me personally, I mean, so many things, of course, have changed in the world about how kids and parents consume music.
Sure.
The way I think about writing is, I would say, in most ways the same. I do think about that inner four-year-old a lot. I also think about the 2 and 3 year old and the 5 and 6 year old.
Sure.
I sort of have a sweet spot there, but I start there, and then I start to think, well, like, could a 2 year old also get what I'm doing here? And would a 6 or 7 year old have any interest in what I'm doing here? I think about what kind of song would not drive me insane if I had to sing it for 25 years, like I have had to do with all
sure,
of
sure.
my music. I think about how can I get the kids to be involved in the song? Is it call and response? Is it some sort of motion? Is it something that's funny to them? Like, I feel like that to me, like, I think a lot of songwriters think about the melodic hook, which I do as well. But I also feel like for kids, it's like there has to be another hook, like something that is going to keep them interested in that song. Maybe it's relevant content or whatever it is. But so I think about all those things. But now I would say that one of the big things that's changed is when I started out, even though I was working in preschool, I really had a feeling of like wanting to write music that helped made kids not feel like they were in school. Like I really wanted them to feel like they were loved. And I mean, teachers love the kids, but like parental, like being home in a safe place where they could yell and scream and do all the things that kids are not supposed to do in school. And I didn't want them to feel like I was trying to teach them something. I wanted them to learn, but I did not want them to feel like I was trying to teach. And now I feel like I often think more often than I used to about like, what is it like to be a classroom teacher who's trying to actually teach something and needs music to help them do that?
Yeah.
I write more from that place. I mean, I write more songs from that place now than I never used to think about that. I always thought about what it would help me, how it helped me manage the classroom, but not necessarily that I had like something. I thought about things like maybe they want to learn the days of the week. So I wrote a song that had that in it, but I wasn't really thinking from the teacher's point of view more than just classroom management. And now it's really more about education a lot of the time, which has been fun. It's been a different challenge for me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, I think about KMFA as a classical station in Austin, and part of their mission statement is to be gently educational, which is a phrase that I've always really enjoyed. Like, we're not going to be didactic. Yeah, it's not going to be heavy-handed. Yes. But you're going to get somewhere. And that's kind of how I thought about this show, too, quite a bit. Well, you've been an incredible leader and I think hero to the independent family music community. So thank you for that. It's fantastic. I guess I have one other question, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this one, so you might not have a good answer. We'll find out. Was there a point, and I'm not talking about when you were like a new classroom teacher, but before that, sometime earlier in your life when you heard music, heard a song, maybe a particular album, and thought, oh, music has got to be part of what I do for the rest of my life. Was that something that you had planned, or was this all sort of fortuitous?
Well, I mean, I remember, like, one of my earliest memories is being maybe a little less than three, and being in my room on a weekend morning, and my parents said, okay, look at your clock. And when you see this shape, this number shape, you're allowed to come out of your bedroom. But before that, and it was like 8 o'clock, I think, you are not allowed to come out. And I had a Fisher Price record player.
Yeah.
And so I played Joe Adair from The Sound of Music, like over and over again, and just marched around on my bed, on the ground, everywhere, just singing that song. Luckily, our bedrooms were the opposite end of the But like my brother had been recently born, actually. So it was like a time that I just remember feeling so much joy. I remember moments like that all throughout my childhood. Like the first time I sang in a choir and heard music all around me in third grade, I was like, or it was a chorus, I guess they called it. But I just thought, it felt like my whole body had like kind of lifted up. And I think there was a part of me that knew I would always want to do something with music, but I went to school for psychology thinking I need an actual job, you know, even if I like want to have music in my life. And then a year after I graduated, I found myself like in cafes in the East Village, writing journals going, I am a musician. I am a musician. Like I had to talk myself into it because I knew it was in me, but I wasn't really sure that I was capable of having a career doing that.
That's awesome. I legitimately got goosebumps when you're talking about that, because it's so, a phrase I say a lot when I go see music is live music is undefeated, right? And I really think that like whether you're performing it or going to it or listening to Doa Deer when you're 3 years old, it's that feeling is undefeated. So thank you for all you've done for that. This makes me sound like I think you're stopping doing it. I'm excited for the next 25 years of Laurie Berkner. Find out about stuff at laurieberkner.com. The 25th anniversary release of Victor Vito is out now on Kids Bop Records. And I think we'll go out listening to that very song, the first song we played 19 years ago on Valley Free Radio on Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child. We'll listen to it now. So thank you, Laurie.
Thank you.
All right. True, true, true. Victor Vito and Freddy Vasco ate a burrito with Tabasco. They put it on their rice, they put it on their beans, on their rutabagas and on their collard greens. Hey, Victor. Alaska. Oh, they ate their rice, they ate their beans, they ate their rutabagas, and they ate their collard greens. Hey, Victor.
Hey, Victor.
Hey, Freddy.
Hey, Freddy.
Let's eat some.
Let's eat some.
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Hey, Victor.
Hey, Victor.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
To eat some spaghetti with Freddy. Slow. They never eat fast. Oh, they ate their rice, they ate their beans, they ate their rutabagas, and they ate their collard greens. Hey, Victor.
Hey, Victor.
Hey, Freddy.
Hey, Freddy.
Let's eat some.
Let's eat some.
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Hey, Victor.
Hey, Victor.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
To eat some spaghetti with Freddy.
Thanks again, Lori Berkner, for calling in. Great to chat with her. Been too long since we'd had her on the show. That there is Victor Vito, celebrating the 25th anniversary of that album this year. And They Might Be Giants before the interview, a new version of Dr. Worm, which was the second song we ever played on the show, actually, although a different version of it, of course. New music here from William Shatner, who we're going to be talking with next weekend. This is the title track from his new album, Where Would the Animals Sleep, on Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child.
On the head to keep you warm through the night. I wish you sweet dreams of only good things, bright yellow sunbeams and new songs to sing. Before closing your eyes, make one wish for me. The brightest one you can see. For we share the earth. Yes, we're not alone. So wish every animal a home of their own. If birds had no nests and rabbits no holes, no comfy burrows for foxes or moles, if bears had no caves to cuddle their cubs, the squirrels and the leopards, no trees up above, if all of these places we failed to keep, tell me, where would the animals sleep? Where would the animals sleep? Bugs rest on grass or leaves that they found, and turtles and chipmunks both sleep underground. Sea otters hold hands and float while they rest. Seals like to curl up on beaches the best. All of these places we cannot neglect. There isn't much time, they're ours to protect. Now before you doze off, it again should be said how lucky you are to have a safe bed. For we, yes, we're not alone. So wish every animal a home of their own. If birds had no nests and rabbits no holes, no comfy burrows for foxes or moles. If bears had no caves to cuddle their cubs, the squirrels and the leopards, no trees up above. If all of these places, where would the animals sleep? Some people don't care about beaches or trees, bulldozing and building wherever they please, tearing down forests and polluting the seas, leaving some creatures with nowhere to be. So all of these places we cannot neglect. There isn't much time, they're ours to protect. Before you doze off, it again should be said how lucky you are to have a safe bed. For we share the earth. Yes, we're not alone. So wish every animal a home of their own. If birds had no nests and rabbits no holes, no comfy burrows for foxes or moles. If bears had no caves to cuddle their cubs, the squirrels and the leopards, no trees up above. If all of these places we fail to keep, tell me, where would the animals sleep? Where would the animals sleep?
Out in the streets, and it's shiny and it's brassy with real big beats. I wonder what it is. Let's go out and see. We're gonna honk, 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 honk on a trumpet. If you got a booty, baby, let me see you bump it. Come on, pretty baby, won't you honk with me? Let me hear you say honk one time. Let me hear you say honk two times. Let me hear you honk three times. Now honk four times. Now dance. They come from New York City, Seattle and Austin, Rio de Janeiro and Australia and Boston. I wonder who they are. Let's go out and see. Gonna honk, 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 honk on a tuba with a wop baba luba ba 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 luba. Oh, come on, pretty baby, won't you honk with me? Let me hear you say honk one time.
Honk!
Now honk two times.
Honk!
Now honk three times.
Honk, honk, honk.
Now honk four times.
Honk, honk, honk.
Now dance. Now freeze. That one over there looks like it's from Vancouver or New Orleans or Chicago or maybe from Denver. I wonder who they are. Let's go out and see. We're gonna honk, 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 honk a trombone while you slide to the side and you make it your own. Oh, come on, pretty baby, won't you honk with me? Let me hear you say honk one time.
Honk!
Now honk two times.
Honk, honk!
Now honk three times.
Honk, honk, honk!
Now honk four times.
Honk, 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 honk!
Now dance. Freeze! I hear them marching movie and it's starting to fade away down the street. Maybe it's a parade, I wonder what it is. Let's go out and see. Gonna honk on some horns or honk on your saxes. You know the best ones come from right here in Texas.
That's right,
baby. Won't you honk with me? Well, a honk one time. Well, a honk two times. Now honk three times. Now honk four times. Now dance. Now freeze. Let's stomp and jump and follow along and turn this one into a community song, 'cause we know what it is. Come on out and see. We're gonna honk, honk, honk. Honk on the drums, they're the biggest and the baddest and as loud as it comes. Now come on, pretty baby, won't you honk with me? Let me hear you say honk one time. Let me hear you say honk two times. Now honk three times. Now honk. Now freeze.